And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello. Today is Monday, April 3rd. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Please listen to us any way you get your podcast. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Send us post thoughts, questions. It's baseball time. Hope springs eternal and baseball has started. It's the baseball preview show with the Sports Kings from Queens. Let's get into it. First off, we're going to talk about the New York Mets. We got the Mets, the Yankees. We got rule changes. We got a lot of stuff going on. Let's start it off with the New York Mets. Kev, the Mets made some nice moves this offseason. Let's take it off.
Yeah, very interesting offseason for them. Of course, they lost most of their starting rotation from last year. Jacob DeGrom, of course, goes to the Rangers on the big contract. Chris Bassitt, who looked so sharp in his Toronto Blue Jays debut, goes up there to the Great White North. Taiwan Walker joins the Phillies. Out of the bullpen, Seth Lugo goes over to the Padres, where it looks like he has a chance to maybe start, at least at the beginning of the season here. They lost their lone guy, Trevor Williams. But the additions, they added Justin Verlander to replace DeGrom. Of course, he's got that minor strain of his teres major. Never heard of that muscle before. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that either.
Not familiar.
It's really nice to see him start with on the DL. Kodai Senga, boy, once he settled down, I think he's a little amped up in his first inning, his major league debut. But once he got keyed in, he looked real good. Let's see what happens when he faces a real lineup. Jose Quintana, unfortunately, he's also out with the rib issue. But they have the depth. They have Peterson. They have McGill, who can fill in, hopefully for short term only and not anything that's going to be all season. For the bullpen, they strengthened it with Dave Robertson, Rayleigh. They added the catcher in Narvaez, which gives them a chance to let Alvarez mature. I mean, he's 21 years old. He needs to catch. He needs to learn how to play defense and make sure he's solid behind the plate before they call him up. They added Tommy Pham, who had a nice game the other night, too. Possible right-handed DH, part-time outfielder for them. Big loss, of course, before the season was Edwin Diaz going down. Stupid World Baseball Classic. They should never play that tournament ever again with major league ball players, but that's another story. The good thing is, at least, you know, with signing Robertson, he's got closing experience. You feel like he can do okay. You still have Ottavino. You added Rayleigh. And this is a team that, you know, Steve Cohen's going to have the checkbook open. Trading deadline, they will add a reliever. Look for a name like the Pirates closer, Bednar. That's a possibility. Lineup should be pretty solid. I would like to see Brett Beatty up here instead of Eduardo Escobar at third base.
That may be coming sooner than we think. I got news for you.
Yeah. Escobar has started off like he started off last year. I mean, except for the last month, he was not good. But overall, we know the Mets are going to have a solid lineup. Once Verlander's back healthy, they've got the co-aces. They've got a good, solid rotation behind them, especially if Senga can step up and be that three guy. The bullpen is fairly deep. They're going to be in the contention. It's just going to be tough in the NL East this whole year with the top three. Darren, Gino, any adds to the Mets?
Yeah, I'll chime in. I mean, listen, the offense for the top six batters in the order looks good. The bottom of the order looks not good right now. I mean, when you put Escobar in there and stuff like that, Narvaez might be a little bit of an upgrade over what they've had over Nito. I'll give you that, but still not great. You really need Beatty's bat. I do think you need that extra bat in the lineup to be good. The rotation, there's depth. Like you said, Senga looked really nice his first time out. You know Verlander's going to pitch at some point. You're going to get your chance to see what he's got. Scherzer, I think, is going to have an amazing year. I really do. I think Scherzer's going to be a real horse for this team. The loss of Diaz is more concerning to me than it is to you. I know they have arms. Robertson hasn't been that guy in a couple of years. Ottavino, just watching him as a Yankee made me nervous down the stretch. He always gets off to good starts, and then he seems to have trouble finding the plate sometimes with that sweeping curve as the season goes on. Makes me a little nervous. Smith and Hunter have live arms. I mean, I'll give it that. I just the thing about this team is they need that extra bat to get a couple more runs in the game per game, because you're not going to have the guy that's going to shut you down 2-1-3-2 like you did last year every single time. It's very hard to have a better year than Diaz had last year. Very hard. And I don't expect Robertson or anybody in the league, right, to really be able to do what Diaz did. Those were Mariano-like years, you know, and you just don't replace that. Yeah, Kevin.
For a single season, that's as good as any year we've seen from a relief
pitcher. I agree. It was right there with any. It was right there with the best Mariano years I ever saw.
Exactly. Right. The difference, Mariano, you knew, did it for 20 years.
I mean, that's Diaz why he's the test of time. But Diaz did it for a couple. He did it for one, and he did it for one in Seattle where he was really good. Yep. So, you know, you give him that. But without that, it's very hard for anybody to replicate that. So that's my thought on the Mets. I think it's a real good team. We'll get into it later. To me, they're the second-place team in the division right now. But that's just my take. G?
I think they're a playoff team for sure. It may be a wild card spot. I think the depth that the team has is okay and not great. I think Starling Marte, as we said down the stretch last year, the same thing is said right now. He's key for this lineup right now without bats at the bottom. And again, if Pham winds up having a good season, that's a bat that will help. If Beatty comes up, it's a bat that'll help. Right now, I still think there are a couple of bats short. One of those guys could really contribute. And if Brett Beatty comes up here and starts hitting the ball the way we think he can hit the ball, I mean, he's already got two home runs in the minor leagues right now. So, you know, is he ready for major league pitching could be a question, but I don't think the question is, can he hit in the minors anymore? The same thing is said with the bullpen. I think the bullpen is strong. I just think without the top guy gone now, the depth of that pen, everybody moves up a spot, and it kind of, honestly, to me, it upsets the apple cart. That's basically what happened the last 2 weeks with this. Diaz goes down and everybody starts moving up. I think they will bring in another guy. I think a closer will be here at some point. I think that's the big thing with that bullpen, is that if you have Robertson and you have Ottavino and you have Raleigh and you actually have a full-time ninth inning closer, the bullpen looks really strong. Without that, I think they're going to scramble a little bit. Go ahead.
I think they can survive short term with those three, but they do need that lockdown guy in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Over the long haul.
I agree with you. I also think it's a matter of how long are they going to have to survive?
Yeah.
So how long is it before they try to bring somebody in? If it's the trade deadline, you better hope you get a really good start to the season from Ottavino or Raleigh, where they're basically unhittable for a month. They don't have to be unhittable for 3 months, but you're going to need to go a whole month of, you know, whatever, June, where Ottavino is just lights out, even if he's not the closer, even if it's an eighth inning role, a seventh inning role. But yeah, you're going to need that from one of these guys. And I think the same thing is with the starting pitching. You know, you put this staff together and it was going to be Scherzer. It was going to be Verlander, and Verlander's down right now. And it's the same issue I have. I said this with the hitting. I said this with the bullpen, and I'm saying with the starters, is the depth enough to keep the Mets in contention until everybody starts getting healthy? Darren, you had a point. I'm sorry.
Well, just on the Beatty thing. I mean, listen, he's going to hit better than Escobar regardless, right? I mean, I think it's agreed. It's not like Yorme is not a good defensive player. It's not like he can't come in for late inning substitutions defensively if needed. I mean, there's no real reason to keep this kid in the minors. There really is none. He can hit minor league pitching. He's proven it already. Escobar is not as good a hitter as Beatty. His glove isn't outstanding. It's not like you're giving up Brooks Robinson over here. You're giving up a less than a bottom middle third baseman. Okay, I'm not going to say he's one of the worst 10, but I'd say he's probably anywhere between 15 and 20 defensively, right? And offensively, he's probably somewhere between 20 and 25. So what are you really giving up? and you have a kid like Iormi that can come in there and play defense for you in the seventh inning. You bring him in. You can make the move. You can make double switches. You can do whatever the hell you need to do. It's just going to be get the bat in there. Do what the Yankees are doing with Volpe. Bat him 9. Bat him 8. Put him at the bottom. Don't put any pressure on him. Let him go out there and get some hacks in. They're going to pitch to him in the beginning, and we'll see what we get. Kev?
Plus, even last year, you know, Escobar is a much better right-handed hitter than lefty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a perfect chance to bring up Baiting, at least have a platoon to start. Pick out a lefty that's not too tough to let him get some at-bats against lefties. But when you're facing a Kershaw, that's when you that's when you definitely start Escobar.
Yeah, but you pick your spots for him.
Yeah.
Do you guys think when I went through this, I said I thought Marte was a really key for this team. Do you have one guy on this team that you think is a key player for this team to really succeed?
I would say Carrasco. I think he's got to be that guy. I think Carrasco's got to come back and the Mets need a fourth starter because we don't know what Senga is going to be. We think he's going to be good. You don't know if he's going to be one of those Japanese pitchers that better on every sixth day. You don't know if he's going to be, you know, hittable, not whatever the situation may be. I think that Carrasco's got a live enough arm, and he didn't show it today, but I think he's got enough where I'd like to see Carrasco be I'm not going to say a force, but he should be better than Charlie Morton as the Braves four. He should be the better four if the two of them are going out. That's how the Mets beat the Braves, is if Carrasco's better than Morton. That's the way that's the matchup or the lineup I look at in the four spot. And I think Carrasco's got the arm to do it. They both have good arms. I just think Carrasco, if he could do that. The other thing with the Mets is simple. They don't have enough depth. Nimmo has to stay healthy. He's the guy. Marte and Nimmo, actually both of them. Pham can replace one of them. He can't replace both of them. They both have to be able to stay healthy. G?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. For me, the other point with this is how good is Senga come June? And when I say that, I mean after he's gone through the league once, after this first month and a half, 2 months of the season, is he still good at that point, or is he starting to get hit all over the place? Kev?
I was thinking Nimmo being the guy who's a key guy. They don't have another full-time center fielder on the roster. Fan can play out there. Kind of can slide over. But you don't want these guys playing out there more than once a week. So Nimmo, to me, is a key guy because he's the, like I said, the only everyday center fielder they have.
Yeah. I can agree with you on that. My point, as remember, as we hit the playoffs last year and Marte went down and we were like, oh, how the hell are they going to replace Marte in the middle of that lineup? Because we thought the lineup at that point was shallow. Now it's a year later, a couple of different guys in and out. And if you have Brett Baty up here, and I'm going to say it this way, even if you have Alvarez up here in the second half of the year, I think your lineup now is expanded from that top 3, 4, 5 guys down to 6, 7, maybe even 8 bats where you're really getting something going. So any final thoughts on the Mets, guys?
I think we covered them
pretty deeply.
Okay. Let's talk a little Yankees. Darren, you want to start this one off?
Sure. I mean, listen, the Yankees, when we get them on paper, they're going to be better in the rotation if everybody gets healthy. Simple fact of the matter is if Rodon comes back and he's healthy and Severino can give you anything at all, with Cole as the top, this becomes a really strong top three in the rotation. I don't like the bullpen at all. I think they have a bunch of setup guys. I don't trust Holmes as my closer. I just don't. I don't think he's got stuff. I don't think he's got stuff that makes people swing and miss. I don't think he gets big strikeouts in big spots. I don't think he's that guy. So I'm very nervous about the pen. I mean, I'm all right with the seventh inning stuff and Marinaccio. You know, all these guys are fine, you know, whatever. But I am not sold on this pen at all, which means that they're going to have to outslug teams to me. This team is really counting on bounce back years from multiple guys. You need LeMayu to hit. Okay. They need Torres to become the old Torres. They were trying to trade him all offseason, so to speak. Need Donaldson to be the Donaldson of old. And you need Stanton to be a little bit consistent up there and give you more games than he played last year. That's four bounce back guys, plus Bader to come back from injury. So now you're talking about five guys that really were all on this team last year that you need to bounce back and the team is counting on. Plus you're starting the hotshot rookie at shortstop where you don't know what to expect. So what you do know in this Yankee lineup is simple. You've got Aaron Judge. he's the guy. Trevino is going to be Trevino. He's nothing special. He's not somebody you're singing songs and writing home about, right? So it's not like there's a lot to really bank on with this team. You like a lot of the things you see because if the lineup hits to the name and they don't have a name, the number on the back of the jersey, I should say, they should score runs. I don't know if I love this team in one-run games. I just don't. I'm very nervous about it. G?
So I'll give you an unpopular opinion, and that is the guy I don't think I like on this team right now is LeMahieu. I think
LeMahieu, he's been awful the first three games of the season.
I was thinking about this and watching this as we in the preseason. I think LeMahieu actually screws this team up in a lot of different ways because this is not the LeMahieu from 7 years ago, right? He's not the guy that's going to get on base at a huge clip, and it's not the guy that's going to steal you 25 bases. So hitting it at the top of the lineup, he really doesn't do anything. He doesn't do a lot for you anymore unless the guy's going to hit 310, which we haven't seen in a very long time, right? He is a man out of position. The position you like LeMahieu in is second base. That's where he gives you the most value. And on this team, he seems to play some third base, some first base. And those are the positions I don't want him at. I want to see Rizzo. I want to see, at the moment, and here we go, I want to see a big bat, hopefully Donaldson in quotes, okay? But I want to see a big bat third baseman there. I don't want to see LeMahieu there. To me, LeMahieu is a below average third baseman. He's not great defensively. He's not great offensively. So to me, that's the guy for me that totally screws a lot of the things up that they want to do with this team between Torres at second and Volpe at short. And, you know, even if LeMahieu wasn't here, maybe Peraz is up here playing a lot of different spots, right? The outfield, you know, for me, I don't want to see Hicks. That's the one guy I don't want to see. And maybe we won't because in the last week they've signed Franchy Cordero, who's going to get some at-bats now.
Had a good night tonight.
He did, but maybe
I've always liked Franchy. I think he's got a great bat. I think he has a live bat.
Maybe that's the remedy to not seeing Hicks up here, and I'll be okay, all right? But you know, the other guy that's important for me to this team is Stanton. Stanton needs a good season. We need to see a good season out of him. Whether he plays the outfield, whether he DHs, we need to see a good season from him offensively for this team to really be a really good offensive team. And then you'll get to the bullpen, which you talked about. I kind of agree with you. I don't think there's a big back of the bullpen arm. The problem is, where is that big back of the bullpen arm? Because if you look at the guys on the trade market, I'm not sure there's going to be many out there. So, you know,
the two New York teams are going to be competing for the same guys.
Right.
It's going to be competing for Bednar. It's going to be competing for guys of that ilk. That's right. Who you're going to have a shot at.
But I mean,
that's really it.
But other than those top couple of guys, all right, you may be back to Holmes, Loaisiga, Marinaccio, you may be back to those same guys being good or just as good as the guys you may try to acquire. Unless somebody like Bednar you're able to free him up from somebody. As far as the starters go, they need to be healthy. And that's, I have nothing else to say except they need to be healthy. Clark Schmidt is probably a good fifth starter. He's not a great second starter. All right.
He's a sixth starter.
Well, regardless of a six, but I could live with him as a five. But, you know, I need Rodon here. I need Severino here. These are the guys that we've kind of slotted in that they're going to be here all season, and they're not to start the year. So, Kev, any Yankee thoughts? I know I went off a little bit. So,
no, you're supposed to.
I agree with you. You look at LeMahieu, the last 2 years, he's been at 260 each of the last 2 years. He's got 22 home runs total the last 2 years. That's not going to cut it.
No.
Like, especially the positions he plays. The only place I think he fits is third base if Donaldson still keeps.
I hate him. I hate him at third, Kev.
I know. He's not a defensive third baseman. Donaldson can still pick it over there to some degree. But Donaldson really needs to step up. Stanton needs to go back to where he was 2 years ago, 2021. He hit 270-something. He had 35 home runs. If that's a Stanton you get, that's nice protection.
He also played over 150 games, Kev. That's the thing.
Yeah. He played 140.
Yankees have more question marks than any good team in baseball.
You'll be happy with 140. You'll be fine with 140 from Stanton.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. But I'm just saying this is a team that has, I mean, like I mentioned it, really you go Judge, Rizzo, and everybody and Trevino because you know what you're getting from them, and everybody else is like a question mark. There's six spots in that lineup that you don't know what you're going to get, and that's scary. That's a scary thing when you're sitting there looking at a big team like this. This is a team that has a payroll. No, listen, it's not the Met payroll. I'm not trying to make fun of it either. But it's still a big payroll. It's a top payroll. And because of that, you're like, wow, there's a lot of guys you're banking on to really just have to rebound. And, you know, listen, I love Bader, all right? He looks like Harrison Bader seems like a Yankee to me. Gritty, wants to be here, all the things. New York player. I mean, I say Yankee, but it could be a Met too. Just a player that the New York crowd's going to rally around, right? But we got him last year. He was hurt, and he starts this year off hurt. You know, I mean, when are we going to get a full season out of these guys? That's the question.
I want to see Bader more often than not in center field.
Oh, every time. I don't want to see Judge out there unless I have to absolutely do it. Judge is going to play left, which if Stanton plays right, I can live with that because it's a big left field. I can live with those strides. I mean, he made a diving catch the other day, and the only reason he was even in position is because he's 6'7". He's got those long strides.
I don't want to see him out. I don't want to see Judge out there 110 dimes in center field.
No, that's a bad recipe for this team. If we need to have Judge out in center field for 100 games, the recipe of how Cashman came up with this team in the preseason has failed at that point.
Yeah. Like I said, the rotation, you need Rodon back healthy, you need Severino healthy. Cole, you have your ace at the top. Cortez has blossomed into a
great four. He's a great four.
Herman, Brito, Schmidt gives you the depth that you can withstand thumb injuries, but for long term, for playoff push, you need those, especially Severino and Rodon, to be healthy for the playoffs. To me, I have my two biggest question marks were bullpen, just like you guys both mentioned, and catcher. Trevino, Higashioka do not scare you.
Nope.
They're back there. They're just there. They're very much like Narvaez and Nito. I mean, it's funny when you look at the two teams. You look at Narvaez, Nito, and you look at Higashioka and Trevino. I think they're very similar. You look at the bullpens. There's a hole in that closer role, both bullpens. It's funny how the two teams, I think, are very similar.
The only difference is the Mets had a closer. He got hurt. The Yankees were going in with their hole. Holmes should be my eighth inning guy. Listen, I would rather see Loaisiga close. I got to be honest, which I like his stuff more. That's just me. I like him in the eighth inning role. I it's fine. Maybe Holmes in the eighth and Loaisiga in the ninth. I'd rather see it reversed just because I like his stuff more. But not that he's proven it. Not that he's proven he can get the three outs. It's just you know, listen, it's a team that is expected to win mid-90s, and they have a lot of question marks. It's the one thing I'll leave it with. Gee, any closing thoughts on them?
No, I think the combination of the players that are injured really need to make some kind of impact. And that's Bader. It's the starters. The guys that are currently injured are going to have to come back and have an impact on this team Otherwise, I think it's going to be we may be looking at a long season with these guys. They're going to need to do something, and you know, trade deadline comes and goes, and you can't replace five positions that are injured because there's just too much payroll going on. So we'll see what happens with this. It should be interesting. I will tell you this, and I'll throw this at you guys. Do you see any spot right now that if you could whisper in the GM's ear, what position for both teams do you want to make sure they upgrade at some point before July, before the deadline hits, right? What's the position you need them to upgrade? Darren?
For both teams, it's closer. I don't really have another position that I'm more worried about on either team than closer.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think both bullpens are going to need somebody. I can't imagine that both bullpens are going to need somebody at some point. So, okay. All right. So we talked Yankees, we talked Mets. Let's run through the divisions. Let's give our division winners as we go through each. You want to start with the NL? Let's start with
sure, G. Kick it off however you want.
Kev, NL East. Let's go through the NL East. Tell me who you think is going to win the division.
Unfortunately, I'm going with Atlanta. They are young. They are loaded. You look at that lineup. You've got Olsen, Riley, Albiz, Acuna, Harris. You look at the rotation with Fried and Strider. They picked up Murphy from the A's. I mean, this team seems to have it all. They're young. They're good. I think the biggest question around that team is, can Vaughn Grissom replace the production of Dansby Swanson? And if that's what you're worried about in that team, that's not bad. Probably another team that may need to add one more piece in the bullpen. But again, I think you're getting a little nitpicky there. I think overall, I think Atlanta's still the best team in that division, unfortunately.
I have Atlanta winning the division as well. And the reason I have them winning it, I shouldn't say that. We were saving that, sorry. But I think when Iglesias comes back, that's the missing piece of the bullpen. They already have Minter and Yates and Jimenez. I mean, the lineup is sick. You know, you didn't even mention Olsen. I mean, you know, Ozuna. You got all these guys that could just come in 1-8, 1-9. This lineup is the best lineup, I think, in baseball, not just in the National League. And it's just Acuna is just a stud. I mean, he's so special. It's utterly ridiculous. You know, Fried got hurt in his first start. Schuster got sent down today. A couple things with the starting rotation that you can see as maybe things that make it a little challenging. Strider looks like the real deal, though, from what I've seen. And, you know, Morton, I think, is pretty good. I just think for the Mets to compete, they have to win the Carrasco-Morton matchup. That's just my take. But I like the Braves a lot. I think the Phillies are a team that kind of falls back this year a little bit, while I think that the Braves really ascend. I just think the Braves are going to be a tough team to beat in that National League East. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you mentioned the Phillies. You know, they did have Trey Turner.
Yeah, they did.
All of a sudden, that allows them to bump Schwarber back to the middle of the lineup where he's a run producer. The question for them is, how soon do they get Harper back in that lineup? Harper completes that lineup. With Harper in there, now they had another. They had a key injury too with Hoskins going down. That's a big, big loss for them. To me, can a guy like Bowman at third base step up? And I thought he had some improvement last year. Can he make that next step up? I think he's a key piece of that lineup.
I actually don't like the rotation as much as I think Nola's the worst highly praised pitcher in baseball. He gets rocked more than any big name pitcher out there. He has great starts where you can't touch the sweeping curve, and he has games in the slider, and he's got games where he gets rocked. I think Wheeler's the one, not Nola. I don't know why they start with Nola game one. I think Wheeler's much better, and I don't trust the rest of the rotation.
I agree with you there. I think Wheeler's better than Nola. Walker gives him that. To me, Walker's that fourth starter.
Reyes Suarez is hurt right now. I mean, he had a good postseason. I don't think it was great during the year.
Yep. The question is going to be that bullpen. I mean, they added Kimbrel, they added Soto, they lost Robertson. Somehow Zach Eflin was closing games for them in the playoffs. I think that bullpen can still be a little shaky.
Dominguez, you expect to be a little bit better, in my opinion, but yeah, but we'll see.
The bullpen is deep, though. That's the only thing. That bullpen is deep between Kimbrel and Soto, Alvarado, Dominguez, you know, Sarah Dominguez. They have enough pitchers that they should figure out a way to get saves and get holds and make sure they get through some of these games, depending on what these starters give them. At one point, I actually agree with Darren. I think Nola really needs to step up if Philly's going to really make a push to have a really good season. I actually have the Braves also winning the division. But, I think the Phillies could challenge the Mets and Braves. But I think it's going to be dependent on Nola, and it's going to be dependent on Harper. Those are the two guys that they're going to need stuff as they start getting towards the middle of this season, and how much they get out of those guys is, I think, the way this team rolls, to be honest.
I have Atlanta win the division. I've got the Mets and the Phillies both in the wild card.
I do not have the Phillies. I have the Braves, Mets, Phillies falling out, and I don't think they're going to be very good, but I think the Marlins are a team that are going to annoy some people because of the starting pitching.
Marlins can pitch. The question for them, I think, is going to be they've got a lot of young pitchers. They need to increase their innings.
I agree.
A lot of them did not pitch over 100 innings last year. They need to make that step up to 150 at least this year and prove it over the course of the full season. They're lucky they have Alcantara as a true ace on that staff. Luzardo sure looked good against the Mets in his first.
I like his stuff. I really do.
Yeah. The lineup, you know, they picked up Arias from the Twins. Boy, he did nothing but hit against Mets. But he's a leadoff guy. He's a singles guy. The rest of that lineup doesn't scare you. And the defense, you know, when you've got Jazz Chisholm trying to play center field, he did not look good out there. Arias is not a second baseman. I know he plays there, but he doesn't have the range. He'd be better elsewhere. They're hurting on defense.
Yeah, just one quick point on that team. They're also, for their offense to do anything, they're counting on bounce-back years from Soler and Avisel Garcia. I mean, they are like the Yankees. They're big bat and Cooper to kind of become consistent. Jazz Chisholm's their number three hitter. I don't think of him as a typical three. The lineup has a lot to be desired. Washington's just a mess. I don't even think there's much to talk about there. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of young guys. I mean, a lot of retreads, you know, Dominic Smith, you know, trying to come back. I'm not trying to rip on Dom Smith, but they got a bunch of guys that are trying to outcast Dickerson, Candelario, Smith, along with a bunch of young guys like Abrams and Robles and Thomas and Meneses and you know, it's and Ruiz. I mean, it's like it's a team that's going to be lucky to not lose 100, in my opinion, in that division.
Yeah, my notes for when I was putting the other teams, I have two words for the Washington Nationals: player development.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're a nice group of young guys. I just don't think that they have enough to do anything with it. Gee,
I'll tell you the one guy that we need to just watch, and that's how good Kyle Finnegan closes. Because if he has a fairly decent year, he'll definitely be on the trade market come July. And there seem to be an awful lot of teams that need a closer. So
yeah.
Bednar just closed out the Red Sox, by the way, which makes me happy in multiple ways.
Okay, NL Central.
Yep. Go ahead, Kev. Yep.
Well, as I was going through looking at playoff teams and everything else, I'm trying to figure out, I don't want a repeat of last year's playoffs. And this is a division where I have maybe a bit of a surprise. You got the Cardinals coming off the division title last year. They add Contreras behind the plate to replace Molina. They lost Pujols. They lost Quintana. They're relying on a couple of youngsters like Jordan Walker to come up. They didn't make that big splash. Some of it could be a thought that the division is not that strong. Maybe they can get by with bringing back a lot of the same team from last year. Milwaukee added the other Contreras brother, Miley, Winker, Anderson, but they lost Renfro, Juan, Peterson, Arvaez. they're trying to transition to some of the younger players. Can some of them step up? That's a good question. So to me, I think it opens it up. And Jalen might hate me for this. I like the Cubs in the Central this year. I've seen them make moves. I've seen them try. They've added Dansby Swanson. They picked up Taillon. They're taking a flyer on Bellinger. They added Hosmer, Mancini. And they didn't lose all that much. I think they've improved the defense all around. And I think that division is not that strong. I think the Cubs could surprise people. I think the Cubs can step up and win this division.
Okay.
Those are my top three. What do you guys think?
Not sure why you think I would be disappointed in that.
You kind of like the Cubs.
It's a Kevin Ward stink on it.
I don't think anybody in that division is as strong as the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals' arms are good. Their starters are good. Their bullpen is good. I don't think they're great by any stretch, but I think they're the strongest bunch in the whole division. And I think between Goldschmidt and Arenado, a couple of the kids come up, like Nubar, like Jordan Walker. They get some bats going, and I think they're off and running. I have the Cards winning the division. Darren?
I also have the Cards. I hate picking the chalk like this. You know that. But the lineup is just the best lineup in the division. I mean, listen, I like the Cubs, not as quite as much as you are, but this is what I wrote. The Cubbies are trying to be relevant again. Rotation sees Taillon join Stroman and Steele and Smiley. Fulmer and Boxberger lead a rebuilt bullpen, which I kind of like. The offense features newcomers with Swanson and Bellinger and Mancini and Hosmer. And holdovers like Happ and Horner and Wisdom and Gomes need to contribute as well. The lineup isn't bad. I just when you go into a three-game set and they're throwing their three best and you come back with Stroman, Steele, and Taillon, I just think you're a half a step behind the Cardinals in that top three. And I think the Cardinal bullpen is lights out better than the Cub bullpen at this point. That's really the decision behind that. When I look at the Cards. Yeah. And I think the Brewers bullpen is better too. But when I look at the Cards and you have Helsley and Gallegos and Hicks, it might be the best three in the game. I don't think Helsley's the best closer, but I think the combination of those three are all really, really good. I have the Cards winning. I have the Brewers finishing second, but I agree with you. They're counting on a lot of young offensive players to come in and be part of this. We'll see what happens with it. Hope for the best with that. But, the team I'm looking forward to watching a little bit this year is the Reds, just because of the amount of youth they're going to be playing. These three young pitchers at the top with Hunter Green, Lodolo, and Ashcraft seem like a lot of fun. I mean, they're all born like in 98, 99. I mean, these are kids coming in. And the closer position is Diaz, but the pen isn't good there. But they could throw the ball around a little bit. But, you know, waiting for Votto to come back. You got Friedel and Fraley and Steer and Barrero and India and all these guys. And I don't know. And I kind of think they're going to be fun, though. I don't think they're going to be good. Don't get me wrong. If they go 70 and 92, it doesn't shock me. I just think they're going to be a fun team to watch. Just my take in that division. G? Yeah, or Kev, I'm sorry, who was next? I don't remember.
I was going to say, yeah, I agree with you. 70 and 92 is a lot better than I think they would be in line for. The Pirates.
I agree. I'm hoping for that. I think that'd be fun.
I think the Pirates would be happy with a 90 loss season after losing 100 the last 2 years.
Absolutely. I kind of like the things with the Pirates too, but I think they're going to be sellers at the deadline with their good players.
They brought in some veterans. They brought in McCutcheon and Hill and Santana and Troy. But I think for the Pirates, they're using these guys as placeholders for their young players. They've got a lot of guys in these 1 year contracts. The Reds have totally gone youth. Assuming they buy out Votto after this year, he's got 1 year as an option left. If they buy him out, as of right now, that would mean they have zero guaranteed money on the payroll for 2024.
I'm going to watch this team as much as I can. I know it sounds ridiculous. I want to see, especially when Green and Lodolo are pitching and Ashcraft, I want to see these guys throw. I'm just curious. I mean, they might get bombed every time out. But whenever I see a starting pitcher that can throw 104, I got to watch him.
Ashcraft's arm is just ridiculous.
It's slightly slower than Green's. And yeah. All three of them throw in the triple digits. It's just going to be fun to watch these guys go 4 1/3 on their 110th pitch getting pulled. You're going to see it, though. You're going to see it.
Okay, and now we move to the NL West. How the West was won. Kev?
Dodgers have ruled the division the last few years. High payroll, bringing whoever they want to. This year, they took a little step back. They lost both Turners. Bellinger, of course, is gone. They lost Anderson, Heaney, Kimbrel. They brought in J.D. Martinez, Rojas. They brought in Thor. They're still trying to integrate some of the younger players in there, drop the salary a little bit. They're looking ahead to next year. They want to make sure they have room for Shohei.
And yeah, that's what this whole thing is for. It's all for Ohtani, no doubt.
Now, for them, they won 111 games last year. If they take a step back, if they're 10 games worse, they still win 101.
Absolutely.
So are they going to be as good as last year? No. I don't think anybody could be as good as 111. But they're still going to be up there. And, of course, you've got the other team, the small market Padres, who spend big. We really don't need Bogarts. We've got enough infielders. But you know what? Let's go out and get them and sign into a long-term contract.
They sign everybody to a long-term contract, Kev. Everybody's got a 7-year deal on this team.
Yeah.
For Soto.
He'll be next.
I'm sure. They're not going to let him walk. Signed Cronenworth yesterday or 2 days ago.
Who's your division winner, Kev?
Got to be a battle of the year. I've got the Padres nosing out the Dodgers. I think they catch them this year. If San Diego needs something, I think San Diego's shown that they are all in, and they will go out and add whatever they need.
Are the Dodgers your other wild card team?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, I actually agree with you. I think the Padres win the division. I think the Dodgers get in with the wild card. And my other wild card winner are the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks get in here. A nice blend of youth and some guys that can play the game. I think they got some good pitching. I like the Diamondbacks to sneak in for the other wild card. I think another big advantage is they're not playing the Padres and the Giants 18 times in past seasons because of the balanced schedule, and I think it helps. Darren? Yeah.
I like the Pods too, which is, you know, a real surprise to you guys. The thing about the Padres, when Tatis comes back, the top of their order, the top four, top five guys are as good as anybody's going to play. They're going to need stuff in the bottom of the order in order to keep contributing. I think the Dodgers got hurt with Gonsolin going down. I think that was a guy that hurt them. Beeler's such a stud. He's not back. I think these things hurt them. I mean, I think Urias, May, Syndergaard, Kershaw are still really solid. Don't get me wrong. I just think the Pods have a little bit more if they stay healthy. I don't like the Diamondbacks at all. I like the Rockies better, but I don't have any of them making the playoffs. I think the Rockies are the third team in that division. I think the Diamondbacks after Gallen really don't have much in the rotation. I like the young outfielder. I like Carroll. You know, I like Thomas. I like McCarthy. I think it's a nice young outfield, and I think the infield's got some pop. I just think Colorado's got a little bit more talent on the pitching side, believe it or not, which is stunning. I don't think they have anybody as good as Gallen, but I think they have the next three best starters, so to speak. And I think the Giants really regress. I think the Giants we watched them this week. There's not a ton of talent on that team. There really isn't. It's a team that you don't expect to fall off this much. Logan Webb is a nice two or three on most teams. He's their ace, and I don't like anything really behind them. So I think the Giants might finish last. Kev?
Darren, who is your other wild card team?
I have the Brewers on my sixth team. The Brewers got my sixth spot.
Okay.
They lost
Rodon. Top of the rotation and the bullpen. That's why I put them in.
Okay.
Yeah, with San Fran, they lost Rodon. I don't think they replaced him with anybody.
It's Webb, Cobb, Wood. It's a bunch of fourth starters behind Webb. They don't have a two or a three, in my opinion.
And like you said, Webb is more of a two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two and a bunch of fours.
The lineup, they didn't really do much to address the lineup. They brought in a couple of guys, but they're hoping for maybe a comeback by Conforto. I mean, that's how desperate they got when they lost on that Judge and a couple of other guys that they were trying for. Nobody took San Fran's money, and they were stuck really at the end of free agency with nothing out there. They were 500 last year. I don't think they make 500 again this year. I agree a little bit with Gene, though. I think the Diamondbacks will move up in this division to the third best team. Not quite in the playoffs yet, but they are improving. And it's going to be interesting watching what Corbin Carroll does. with the big contract, the 8-year contract already, and the favorite for the rookie of the year. And Colorado, to me, is just there. They're a team that I don't think they did much last in the offseason. They lost 94 games last year, and they might improve a couple of games, but it's still a 90-loss team.
Okay. Who is your NL winner? We picked our six teams. Who is your NL winner?
Kick it off, Kev.
I've got in the NLCS, I've got the San Diego Padres beating the Atlanta Braves.
I have the Atlanta Braves beating the San Diego Padres. G?
And Gino for the tiebreak.
I have the Padres beating the Cardinals.
Okay. Good enough. NL MVP. Kevy.
I went a little out, pulled name a little bit out of left field. Actually, maybe out of third base. Since I've got the Braves winning it, I think the Padres have almost too much. Yeah, the Padres and the Braves are very similar in the fact that they've got deep lineups. I'm going to go Austin Riley.
Okay. I've got Acuna winning it. Not really out of left field at all, but actually in left field.
I actually have Manny Machado winning it.
Okay.
Yep.
A lot of surrounding players in that Padre lineup, but Machado winds up winning it.
Cy Young?
I'm sticking with the Braves. I'm going to go Max Fried.
I have Scherzer winning it.
And I also have Mr. Scherzer winning it.
Wow.
And we just jinxed Scherzer, didn't we?
Probably.
I'm trying so hard not to pick a Met. I don't want to jinx my Mets.
Well, listen. I I have Scherzer just edging out Woodruff. That was my top two. I know Burness is probably the higher rated guy. I have Woodruff and Urias finishing 2-3.
All right. Darren, you want to kick off the AL East?
To me, the best team in this division is the Blue Jays. The lineup is not as good as last year, okay? The loss of Teoscar Hernandez, I think, does leave a little bit of a hole. But I think the pitching has improved so dramatically on this staff. Berrios was brought in to be the savior. Now he's like the four because Manoah is up there and Gossman's up there. Bassett, Kikuchi, and Berrios. You have a solid five-man rotation. Closes for Real Romano. A decent bullpen. The offensively, listen, Guerrero is Guerrero. Bichette is Bichette. Springer's never healthy, but when he is, he's pretty good. Chapman's got a big-time bat. Varsho, you know, they're putting a lot of eggs in that basket, but, you know, we like him in fantasy because he can catch. Let's see if he can play center field every day. And Kirk, I expect to increase his power. You got a situation where Merrifield doesn't even play every day, and he'd be a guy that on the Yankees I'd love to have playing every day. So it's one of those things, and they brought in Brandon Belt with no pressure on him to be the DH and bat eighth and ninth. I really think that this might be the team. I think they're the best team in the American League East. I think that the Rays are one that takes a step back a little bit, even though I like their rotation, especially up top with McClanahan, Rasmussen, and Springs, and Glasnow when he gets back. The offense, they always find a way. Every time I look at it, nothing scares me. I try as hard as I can. Arozarena is a great, you know, postseason kind of guy and clutch kind of guy. And Juan DeFranco, you're expecting big things from. The rest of these guys seem like you're all, you know, able to pitch to them, yet they still find a way to scratch out five runs a night. So I don't know how they do it. Those are the other two teams that I think are competitive along with the Yanks. So those to me are the top three. I think the Orioles actually take a slight step back. I don't love their rotation. And the Red Sox are counting on, I mean, their rotation's tough right now too. And the loss of Story, I think, really set that team back a little bit this year. That's my take in the AL East. Kev?
So you have the Blue Jays winning the AL East?
Yeah, and the Yankees is the wild card.
Okay, I actually, just so that we stay consistent, I have the opposite. I have the Yankees still winning the division, probably by a game or two over the Blue Jays. I have both of those teams making the playoffs. I kind of agree with a lot of what you said. I just think the Yankees are going to find a way. They'll bring another guy or two in here, and they'll make it work to get past to win this division. Kev?
I agree with you, G. I have the Yankees still edging out Toronto to win the division. Again, this is going to come down to the last week of the season. Toronto definitely makes a wild card. It would not shock me if it wound up being Blue Jays in first, Yankees in second, but I am picking the Yankees to win. I agree with Darren on Tampa Bay. I think they're just a little notch less than what they've been. Like you said, that lineup, you look at it, the everyday lineup, and you go, it feels like they can be pitched to. And, you know, you look and you got a whole bunch of 240 hitters, and yet they score 5 or 6 runs a game. I don't know how they do it.
They're amazing. They really are.
Baltimore's got to be fun watching, you know, guys like Gunnar Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez when they added to Adley Hutchinson. Like I said, they don't have the pitching yet. That's still coming a little bit later, I think, from the farm system.
And Jerry Means is out. He's their best guy. With him on the 60-day DL, IL, I'm sorry. It hurts.
And they didn't bring in any big free agents this year to bolster some of the young players. So, you know, again, they're going to be in that watching the youngsters play. Boston seems like they turned over half their roster. I don't know if it's any improvement. Probably going to have some improvement. I mean, they were last place. They wound up with only 78 wins last year. I see some improvement. Maybe they get to be around 500, but that's about their ceiling.
Kev, just so that we get it correct, I want you to make sure you know how to pronounce Adley Rutschman as the catcher, because I think in the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to be in the contention.
Rutschman.
He's going to be in contention for MVP. That's how good I think.
You can call him Hutchinson whenever you want.
What the hell
am I wrong? Hutchinson, whatever you want.
It's Adley Rutschman. The only reason I'm correcting you is because I want you to make sure you say it right. Because
what the hell did I write down? I wrote down Hutchinson. What?
He's going to be in contention for AL MVP in the next couple of years.
Yes.
And I got news for you. The kid Mullins out there in the outfield is a really fun player to watch, too. The lineup is going to still be good. It's just that I sit there and they lead out there with Kyle Gibson and Irvin and Kramer, I just don't really see the fear in any bats. Yeah, Kev.
Just like last week's episode, I prepare and I still screw up.
We all prepare and screw up. It's all good.
Darren, AL Central.
Okay, this is a tough one for me. I have the Twins winning the Central again. I picked them last year. They led most of the year and fell apart. Quietly, they have one of the nicest rotations in the division, in the league, actually. You go Lopez, Gray, Ryan, Molly, and Maeda. It's a really nice five-man rotation. Do I think any of them are a one? No. But I think that they have a lot of twos, threes, and fours, and I think it's a pretty solid rotation. And I like Duran coming out of that pen. I think he's got a real live arm. And I think the lineup is pretty good. I mean, nice pieces. If Buxton stays healthy, which is the biggest if on this team, he's a nice addition. Kirilloff, when he comes back, also adds to it. But you got guys like Miranda and Gordon and Farmer and Polanco to go along with the veterans, like Kepler and Gallo and Michael Taylor. I just think they have a nice mix, and I like the arms. And it's really close between them and the White Sox for me. I have the Indians falling back a little bit. I have the White Sox as my really close two. I go back and forth between the two. I think the White Sox might have the stronger top end of the rotation, and I think the Twins are a little bit more complete all the way around, and I think the injury to Liam Hendricks is the reason why – well, the cancer to Liam Hendricks, I should say, is the reason why I have the Twins just ahead of them with the Indians – oh, I'm sorry, the Guardians in third, and the Tigers, you know, and the Royals are going to have to wait a couple of years to be any good. Gee.
I will tell you, I actually debated this a little bit also, and I actually have it as the White Sox because I think Dylan Cease is going to become the AL's. He's going to be at the top of the Cy Young voting this year. I think they're strong. I think this is the year that both Jimenez and Vaughn and Moncada – and I think this is the year that they all start playing well. They all stick in there. They all stay in the lineup. Tim Anderson has a pretty good year. I like the White Sox here. I think once they do get Hendricks back, the bullpen just becomes real, real solid. That could be the number one bullpen in the entire league between Graveman and Bummer and Hendricks. I think that could set them apart from most of the American League Central. I like the White Sox. Kev?
Wow, what division that none of us agree on.
I'm sticking with the Guardians.
I'm sticking with the Guardians.
Yes, for all the ex-Mets.
Yeah, the Rosario and Jimenez, I tell you, Jimenez really stepped up and become a real nice ball player. I still think they've got enough pitching. And their bullpen with Clays and with Karinchak. I think they've got enough guys out there in the bullpen to still maintain their lead to win the division again. They won the division by 11 last year. I think it's tightening up this year. I see Cleveland barely holding off Minnesota 2 and Chicago 3. Tigers and Royals, not much to talk about with those two teams. The Tigers are in a total rebuild. Kansas City waiting for some of the younger guys like Witt and Pasquantino and Melendez to emerge.
That's a fun team. That's going to be a fun team to watch offensively too, though. Massey and Isbell and Lopez. I mean, this is they're playing all their young guys. I think they're going to be pretty good. I just don't think they have enough.
Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt. Yeah, he mentioned Witt first. I like Witt. It's hard not to.
Like I said, I think we all in agreement. It's the top three. I think it's going to be tight in the top three. It's a matter of who's going to win by. I think we all agree it's going to be probably those three within five games. I think we're all pretty much in agreement there.
I agree with that, Kev. I think it's tight race.
Yeah.
And I don't. Unlike last year, I don't think all of a sudden in September the Guardians pull away like they did. I think it stays a tight race.
And to me, I think that division only sends one team. I don't think they get a wild card.
And then we get to the West. Again, how the West was won. Darren?
Okay, well, I mean, it's really hard for me not to pick the Astros here. They get rid of starters, and they still come back with Valdez and Javier and Urquidy and Garcia and Brown and McCullers, and it's like they still have arms. And Presley and Neris is a 1-2, is as good a 1-2 as there is in the game right now. And the lineup adds Abreu to go along with Alvarez and Bregman, and Altuve's hurt, but he'll be back at some point. Dubon will fill in for a little while. Kyle Tucker. This is a really solid team. It's hard to think that they're not going to, find their way and go crazy. The team I think that people could sleep on is the Rangers. I think that just the addition of Bruce Bochy somehow gets you an extra six games. I don't know how, but he does. DeGrom at up top with the addition of Haney as well, and Eovaldi and Gray and Perez is not a bad rotation with Odorizzi behind it. The bullpen is okay. It's not great, so you don't really go crazy. But they do have Seager and Semien, Adolis Garcia, Jung, some nice compliments with Lowe and Garver that can offer some pop. I think that there's some decent things going on with Texas where they can be competitive. Those would be the teams that I think that those are the two teams I have making the playoffs in that division. I have the Texas Rangers getting the wild card behind the Astros. I have Seattle falling back. Nothing against Seattle. I think they're good. I just think that Texas is going to find a way to pass them up. They have Julio Rodriguez, who's a star, and a bunch of bats that they brought in, and with Teoscar and stuff like that to try to help out. But I have the Rangers nudging them out. Jake?
I have the Astros winning the division. A lot of what you said is true, and as if the offense didn't need a boost, they bring Abreu in to play first base. I do think they wind up winning that AL West by 5-10 games. However, I do think the Rangers and Mariners are both there in contention for the other two wild card spots, and I think they wind up playing close all year. I like the additions the Rangers made. I like the additions the Mariners made. I think both teams complemented what they already had really well this offseason. They got a couple of kids for each team are coming up, like Josh Young, the Mariners with Rodriguez last year. I have the Rangers and Mariners both making the playoffs along with the Astros. Kev?
Yeah, I thought it was going on a limb a little bit. Yeah, I have Houston winning the division, and I had Seattle, Texas battling for second place, but both of them still making the wild card. The Angels, I think, just miss out. Now they've added, you know, Tyler Anderson. They added Renfroe, Urshela, Drury. They needed to add depth to that lineup because it was lineup was not good last year. They have improved the lineup, not to some great degree. But any team that, you know, if Mike Trout's healthy and if Shohei puts up another Shohei year, I mean, you've got two superstars. Plus, like I said, more depth. They're going to be better. They're going to be over 500, I think. But I think they're going to come up just short.
I agree with you on that, Kev. I agree with you.
I don't agree with you on that. I think the Angels are horrible again.
I think Rendon and they got a couple of young bats. I like Ward. I think Ward's a hitter. I think he's scrappy as hell. Renjifol seems like he's going to be a player. Ohop or Hope, however you pronounce his last name.
Ohop.
He's a Long Island guy. I should know it. I like what I've seen from him in the first weekend. Fletcher hits the ball all over the place. Drury's a nice player. I think they'll have enough offense, and I actually think they have some nice young pitchers coming up with Sandoval and Davidson and Detmers to go along with Anderson and Shohei. I just don't think they have enough. I think Seattle's a little bit better, and I don't have Seattle making the playoffs either. I have Texas as my only team in the wild card in that division.
Okay, so I have everybody's three division winners. Darren, who is your third wild card? You had the Yankees and the Rangers, and who else?
The White Sox.
Oh, okay. All right, so we have all six teams for the AL. Darren, AL winner.
I got the Blue Jays beating the Astros.
Kev?
I've got the Yankees finally solving the Astros and beating them and going to the World Series.
I actually agree with you. I actually have the Yankees over the Astros finally.
So boy, we're going out on a limb here.
I love Blue Jays. I did go out on a limb.
So based on these predictions, I have Darren, you have the Blue Jays and the Braves in the World Series, and your World Series winner is?
The Atlanta Braves. Sorry, Kevin.
No problem.
I know how much you hate them. I hate to say it because I know how much you hate them.
Unbelievably, both Gino and Kevin both have the Yankees playing the Padres in the World Series. Kevin?
And I have the Padres winning in six.
Okay, great. I have the Yankees winning in seven.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, I have the Braves winning in six, in case anybody asks.
Okay.
AL MVP, Kev?
Shohei reclaims the crown. He's the MVP.
G?
I actually agree with him, and I think it's good enough to get him traded. I think he gets traded at the deadline. The Angels cash in because their season is atrocious, and they cash in with somebody. They get six arms from the Dodgers, or they get eight players from the Yankees or somebody. They send them off, and that is the end of the Ohtani situation with the Angels.
I have Guerrero winning it.
Vladimir.
I have Vlad winning it. Cy Young, Kev?
Well, for the Yankees to win the division, they're going to need Gerrit Cole, so I have Cole winning the Cy Young.
Me too.
And I actually do. It's a clean sweep.
I have Manoah and Cease behind him, but I have Cole winning it.
And we had not talked about this prior.
No, we did not.
We all have Cole.
And Gerrit Cole goes on the disabled list on April 28th.
Oh, luck, absolutely. We just jinxed him. Yep. Well, we have two of us have Scherzer, three of us have Cole. So there you go. We have no New York bias here.
No, none.
None whatsoever. The only Met fan was the only one not to pick Scherzer, though. So there you go.
Okay, so we picked division winners. We have a World Series winner. Let's talk about some over-unders. Flipping a coin. Kev, you want heads or tails?
Heads.
And it came up heads. Kev, you will start.
My first over, since I haven't picked them winning the division, and their over-under is down at about 78.5, I'm going with the Cubs with the over.
Okay.
We're doing all five, or are we going to go around?
We'll rotate it.
Okay.
Aaron?
I picked the Twins to win the Central, 84.5. I'm going over.
All right. considering how much I am really hating the Angels, I am taking the under on the Angels of 81.5. Kev, back to you. Round two.
My second over is the NL West winner. San Diego, they're at 93.5 to beat out the Dodgers. They're going to have to be up around 99. So I've got the Padres going over.
I'm taking the Tampa Rays as an under at 89.5. I think they're going to win somewhere around 87.
Okay. My over also comes from the AL West. I'm taking the Texas Rangers over 81.5. I think they're in for a good season. Kev, your third selection.
One of the unders I'm going to take, since I see them taking a step back, Milwaukee was at 86.5. I don't think they quite reached that, so I'm going to take the under with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Actually like that. I didn't take it, but I'm kind of getting the feeling that that may be correct. Darren?
I'm taking the Blue Jays over 90.5 out of the AL East. I had picked them to win the division. I think they're going to have to win more than 91 games to get there.
Okay. My third pick is going to be the Chicago Cubs under 76.5. Sorry, Kev.
Wow. Talk about difference.
All right, Kev.
I'm going to go. This is a three-way battle. I think all three somehow find a way to 90 wins. I'm taking Philly over the 89.5.
Ooh.
And I, in turn, will take Philly under the 89.5.
Wow. Dueling Phillies. How do you like that? I like them this year. I think they're definitely improved, and I'm taking Arizona over the 74.5. I think they're in for a decent season. I don't know how great they're going to be, but I think they're better than 74 wins. Kev, your fifth selection.
I'm going back to the NL Central. Boy, I'm got three picks out of there. I'm going under with the Cardinals at 88.5.
Ooh. Wow.
I'm going with the Giants in the West under 81.5.
Wow. And I am going to go. Wow. I think this team is horrible. I'm taking under 68.5 for Detroit. I think they're in the middle of the rebuild. And I just can't see them winning that many games while they try to do this. That's five over unders for each of us. Before we sign off, anything you guys want to say about some of the rule changes? We've talked about them already, but we've seen now, you know, four games, maybe five games for some of these teams. Anything you guys want to make comments about as before we head into the sunset with the baseball preview?
They can't get it right. They came out after the fact. Jeff McNeil gets a strike because they said Alonso took too long to get back to first after a foul ball. He took his time getting back from second to first. That's not even part of the fucking rule. I hate this pitch clock. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I'm watching some of these pitchers, you know, when they need to take a breather and they can't because they've already taken their step off. When they're in trouble, when they need to take that breather, you know, it's only 20 seconds. You've got to get right back on the mound. I like the idea of speeding up the game, but I think the way they've implemented this pitch clock, I just don't like it. I really don't. I mean, start of the game today, Carrasco, I don't know what happened. Ball one before there was even a pitch.
It was an omen.
Mets were called for four pitch clock violations today. Two on the pitchers, two on the hitters. Cannon's got, you know, he's got to be ready by 8 seconds. He said, you know, he's used to looking up at the scoreboard to get a read on the speed of the last pitch. Well, he was looking for it up on the board. They were a little late putting up the speed, so by the time he got back in the box, automatic strike was strike three. You're out. I don't know. It to me, it seems very rushed at times. Yeah.
My bigger problem is the amount of times you can throw to first base. It's almost like giving people steals for free now. You can't hold anybody on. It's like, come on. I mean, this is actually flat out dumb. I mean, the pitch clock, at least there's a reason behind it. This is just dumb. No, you can't throw. A guy's trying to steal a base. You can't keep him close. You can't step off. You can't throw over more than it doesn't make any sense. It actually weakens the entire integrity of what the game is supposed to do. I mean, I don't like the pitch clock either. My whole thing was that extra 5 seconds was my whole thing. But either way, whatever. Listen, bad pitching. We saw, like, if you watch the Yankees-Giant game on Saturday where neither pitcher could throw strikes, it didn't really freaking matter how fast it was supposed to go because both pitchers stunk. But when you look at the how many times you can go over to first base, come on.
Yeah,
come on! You can't. You just this is now. You're making rules for the sake of making rules. Now it's just stupid. That one makes no sense to me. I know Gino will defend it to his death. I think that this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I think it's worse than the pitch clock tenfold. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. G,
I like the pitch clock. I think the players are adapting to it as best they can. And I think as we go through the season, there's going to be more issues that are going to pop up like this. But I think they'll get them straightened out. And I think for the most part, the majority of baseball has already figured out how to deal with the pitch clock for the most part.
Not the Mets.
There are some issues here and there, but I think for the most part, throwing to first, I think that could be a change. I could see them changing that. I could also see them actually changing the pitch clock by 5 seconds. I think that could happen.
I think, you know, September pennant race, and you got a key spot in the eighth inning. I don't care what team it is. And you need the relief pitcher who needs to take those couple of extra seconds to gather himself for the next pitch. And all of a sudden, pitch clock. Come on.
In a big spot, you don't want your pitcher screwed up. I just don't like that. Now I've thrown over twice, so I can't throw over anymore. So now he can run. That's just dumb.
Well, he can't throw over the third time, but he has to be out. Otherwise, it's a walk.
Yeah, otherwise you give him second. I mean, yeah. Are you really going to do it? It's just, there's no way. It's just so stupid. Whoever came up with that one should be shot.
Half of me thinks, you know, throw over twice on the first two. Don't even throw a pitch yet. Throw over twice. Suck the other team into stealing and pitch out. Maybe get it cheap out that way.
Oh, God, it's crazy. I agree with you, though. It is nuts.
I do still like the pitch clock, though, I have to tell you.
I know you do, pal.
I do.
Any other points? I like the slower pace.
Can't face Pie Gal for 7 hours.
That's right.
They don't even have that at the casino anymore, by the way.
They couldn't make enough money off that.
People were sitting there too long drinking for free.
Yeah.
No.
They lost one of the few table games they lose money at.
They still have it. Don't worry.
I'm joking. Anyway.
Okay.
Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
No, that's it. It should be another good baseball season.
Yeah, really exciting. I mean, listen, I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Yankees beat out the Blue Jays. I really do. Trust me. Hope the Padres beat the Braves, and I really do again. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, I'm rooting for you guys to be right on the World Series. Put it that way. Anyway, we're the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin and Gino, talking about the wonderful world of sports. And tonight we're talking about baseball while having the college basketball championship game over our heads. 10-point lead for UConn at this moment. You download our podcast anywhere you get your podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, wherever you like. Respond to our stuff, share our stuff, let us know what you think. Tell us what you want us to talk about. We'll be doing another show later on this week where we talk about the Masters and the rest of NBA, NHL, and college basketball. And finally fill that up and end that. So without any further ado, may your sports be with you.